Good morning. Welcome to worship at Providence Presbyterian Church. Maybe not the coolest place in town, but the air is moving and a lot else this morning. You're welcome to this worship, whether it's the first time you've been here or one of many, many times that you've been here. Please use the brown welcome pads that you find along the center aisle. This gives you an opportunity to greet one another following worship and do so by name. But also, if you have information you'd like to share with the staff of this church regarding who you are and where you are and perhaps a desire for some future contact, please include that on that pad. Call your attention to announcements that are on the insert in the bulletin. Reminder that the Bible study, which just completed downstairs that began at 9 o'clock, will again be held next Sunday morning. A study of the book of John, a good group, one you can join as you go along, and encourage you to do so next week. Also reminder that a chance to interact with the interim study committee on the very interesting materials that are part of the congregational survey and a summary of that, questions and comments that you might have regarding that, or just listening, but also feedback to the interim study committee that they very much value. That will take place downstairs, cooler than this room even, and just get some coffee and refreshments and go down and immediately following worship. Also call attention to Tuesday's playgroup study and the fact that our summer barbecues on the front lawn will begin this coming Tuesday, 6 to 8 p.m. You see the instructions about either bringing something or making a contribution, but inviting other people to come out on the front lawn, a really pleasant time of fellowship and sort of invitation to the community to what goes on in this place. Perhaps somebody wants to make an announcement regarding the men's group study, kickoff, not necessarily study.
Good morning. So today is the start of the men's group fellowship. We are meeting for the first time. It's going to be at 2 o'clock this afternoon at Colt State Park, site 31, for any men who'd like to join. We are really just going to kind of socialize and gather and get some ideas for how we want this to go. So again, 2 o'clock, Colt State Park, and there'll be plenty of food, so come on. Thanks.
Other announcements?
Just a quick announcement. First of all, Jim and I are really looking forward to hosting the barbecue. Be sure you come. The food will be great. And it's our first chance to get, to do this summer. So it'll be really fun to see everybody. The other thing is, in today, the interim study committee has their discussion downstairs. There will be childcare. So, please participate in the conversation and know that your children will be well taken care of.
Next weekend, we are going to be hosting a self-development of people workshop here at church. The self-development of people is one of the areas where our the donations for One Great Hour of Sharing go to. And they are, the Northeast Task Force is going to be meeting here, and on Sunday or Saturday morning at 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock, we'll be hosting a workshop for grassroots organizations to come and to learn about the grant process and to learn about what the self-development of people do. So I invite all of you to come and join us. We'll be having lunch all together too. And if you have any questions, you can come see me. Or if you have any contacts or ideas of folks outside of our church that are part of a grassroots organization that are looking for funding, this might be an opportunity for them. There are certain criteria, but I think it'll be a really engaging workshop. And we are also doing a site visit to another organization that's part of the Olneyville Neighborhood Association that has just applied for a grant too. So there are several different, this is the third organization that within our local area in the last few years that has applied and for a grant. So there's need out there in our community, and if you have any contacts or ideas of other people to try and invite to this workshop, please come see me during coffee hour. But you all are more than welcome to come too.
Hi everyone. So the 20s and 30s group is having a potluck dinner this coming Friday at the Lockharts. It starts at 6:30. If you could just reply to the Evite, and if you did not get the Evite and are interested, please see either myself or Jenny Surgeoner, and we can add you to it as well. Thanks.
The last thing, if you looked in the end of your bulletin, you will find a website about our materials, so everything about the survey and even the video, so it's really just one click. You didn't need to do anything else. So if you have this address there, just save it on your computer, just one click, everything will be online, and you can read whatever you want to read, skip whatever you want to skip, but all materials will be really easy to review. Thank you.
Let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into God's presence, singing joyful songs of praise. Praise the Lord with me. Let us exalt God's name together.
One name in your courts, better is one name. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now we pray in silence, followed by the prayer and confession in unison. Lord, grant us your peace, for we have made peace with what does not give peace, and we are afraid. Drive us deep within to face ourselves, so that we may see that what we truly need to fear is our capacity to deceive and our willingness to be deceived, our loving of things and using of people, our struggle for power and shrinking of soul, our addiction to comfort and sedation of conscience, our readiness to criticize and reluctance to create, our clamor for privilege and silence at injustice, our seeking for security and forsaking the kingdom. Lord, instill in us an awe of you that will make us wise, and a quiet courage as will enable us to make hope visible. Forgiving delightful, loving contagious, faith liberating, peacemaking joyful, and ourselves open and present to other people in your kingdom. In the name of Christ we pray, amen. And now we'll sing the Song of Confession, verse 2019. People of God, please listen. God helps us in his hands of mercy and blesses us by saying, "You told me your sins without trying to hide them, and now I forgive you." Our sins are forgiven. He takes away our guilt. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and free. Amen.
Now it's time to share our joy and concern to God and to each other.
I'd like prayers for the Synod Stated Clerk, David Mears, and his wife, Clancy. David was supposed to have a biopsy done Friday to determine what kind of chemo treatment to give him, but the night before, his wife thought she was having a heart attack, and they went to the emergency room, and it turned out to be pneumonia, but she's recuperating now, and so I'd ask your prayers for both of them.
Just thank you so much for all your prayers for my grandma. She came through her surgery well, and I just want to ask for continued prayers for her. She's going to have some radiation treatment and then probably some chemotherapy. So just continue to pray for her. And then I ask for prayers for my friend Kara's father, who was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and she's struggling with that. So prayers for Anne and Kara's dad.
Again, this summer I'm working with the Rhode Island Teaching Fellows. We have had a wonderful week of preparation, and tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., all of our new teachers go into the classroom for the first time. So just prayers for calm and confidence for all of them.
I have several. First, I want to pray for my friend, prayers for my friend Sharon. She had a car accident, and she was hit bad by some guy who told the police that she ran the red light. So she told him that there was a camera in the area and that God is always watching. So he changed his tune and said, maybe I hit her. And also Sharon's father, his name is Judson. He's come to the end of life, and the family is just waiting, so they're having a tough time with that, so prayers for their family. On a lighter note, Friday was my mother's birthday, Angela. She turned 76, and today's my brother's birthday, Cedric. I won't say how old he is, but prayers for long life for both of them and just continued health.
Our three daughters are at a Christian camp this week, Young Life Camp in New York, and Jamie is actually staying for the month doing a volunteer work crew, so she's a dining hall server, but just would love prayers for them that this would be a great time for them to grow in their faith. Thanks.
I want a special prayer to thank God for Gladys' daughter, who really got her visa just 2 days ago. So, and it's good to hear good news. While the second thing is, I will ask you to pray for Egypt, as you hear about everything is going on there, and really violence to be under control, and hopefully not to hear more bad news about what's going on there. So keep the whole country and the whole region in your prayers.
It went something like this. Okay, it went something like this. We are only mere mortals. We have been called, or we have chosen, to follow God's footsteps in his wisdom and his compassion and his grace for people he met and people he knows and people who chose to be his disciples. Since we are only mortal, though we will err, we will forget, but we should always strive to remember the path on which we chose to take when we chose to become part of the group of Jesus Christ, for Jesus Christ. So now, with this in mind, I would like to pray for, as a group, in strength for remaining on the path for Jesus Christ, for working to get into the grasp of what he of his level of compassion and grace and love that he shares for everybody in the world, assuming that they can and will accept. And as a group, as in unison, as one, I'd like to start the Lord's Prayer together, if we could, all at once. Somebody please start, since I am not fully here. Would you like to start, Cheryl?
Sure.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Deliver us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Thy is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And
I'll tell you, Sean, this was lovely to say something from your heart. And we know that technology can put a lot of things off, as what happened today. We have no internet in the church, but we start when we believe God hear us when we have papers and we didn't have papers. Hear us what's really coming from our hearts. And I believe as a congregation, and I believe God's heard us all because he can listen to our hearts. Now it's time for the children's message. I encourage the children to come forward. And I really apologize because many things were blamed on having internet in the church, but we have no internet in the church today. And I want to thank Andrew for saving me to let me into his house so I can print at least a sermon for today. So thanks for being close by. So, and I want to apologize for you because I was preparing really pictures online to watch with you about a very interesting story, okay? Have you ever heard the word plow? Yeah, this is a very weird word. Did you hear about this before? Plow. P-L-O-W. Okay, maybe you can learn something. It's a tool farmers used. Yeah, exactly. It's good to do something different, so, yeah. So it's a tool the farmers used in their land to really to help the soil to breathe. So like after they plant something, okay, and then what they need, they cannot just after the end and after the harvest, they cannot go and start a new plant a new thing. What they do, they need to clean first, and then they have to find some way to mix the soil. To mix it and what we call it, to let the soil breathe and have a chance to really to renew it. And in old days, no machines, no buttons, no electronics, nothing. We speak about more than 2,000 years. How people did that in the old days? They made a very long blade, okay? And they brought in animals, cows, donkeys, horse, whatever they have. And they will hook this blade so they put weight on the blades so the blades can go deeper. Deeper is better, so you're really doing good job as a farmer. And the second thing, you have to look very straight because you need to make a line because the person behind you will come and put the seeds behind you. So if you don't make a straight line, everything will not be okay. The person behind you will really be confused. And the crops is not going to be good. Everything is not going to be really straight and clear. So what Jesus told us, when we are called to be his things, be focused. Look forward. Don't be scared. Look forward and take care. Easy to follow you and plant a new thing. And then one day you see a wonderful group of wheat, corn, whatever, and all standing straight and shiny and wonderful, and everybody enjoy it. So that's what Jesus said. Jesus told people, just remember these farmers, like these farmers, when you put your hand on a plow, don't just turn around, don't walk backward, you have to walk forward. Look, be careful. And as a people of God, we tell God, this is maybe really got very hard, because if somebody's doing something around me, it will be very hard not to look at them. Or if something going behind me, it will be very hard not to turn around and see what's happening behind me. So today we're asking God to say, God, help us to be your children, to do the good things, even when we hear other things is not good, even when we see other things is really distracting us. But help us to listen to people we trust, like our parents, our teachers, our pastors. And that's what Jesus is telling these people. Trust, put your hand, and walk and follow somebody you know very well. And today we're going to thank God for people we can trust in our life. Like who? Our parents, teachers, pastors, people we know. We cannot just go and follow. No, they're on the street. Can we do that? No, we have to know them. We have to trust them so we know we are safe. We know they are worthy of really trusting them. Do you want to say a prayer with me? Okay, let's say a prayer. We thank you, God, because you give us an eye so we can look forward. You give us a hand so we can put our hand on your work. Help us to touch each other and help each other when we cry and when we are afraid of something, and help us to be your people, people as a children of God. We thank you, God, for our parents. We thank you for everybody we trust, because you gave us to them, and help us to follow them, to help other people to trust us too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Old Testament lesson is found today in 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 6 through 14, which is found on page 317 in your pew Bible or page 412 in the large print Bible. This takes place at the transition from Elijah's ministry to Elisha's ministry, and they have gone, Elijah and Elisha, together to a few towns to gather up the prophets in those towns as witnesses. Listen for the word of the Lord. Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to one side and to the other, until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, tore them into his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He picked up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the brink of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" When he had struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. This is the word of the Lord. The New Testament lesson is found in Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 62. Which is found on page 66 of your pew Bible and page 85 of the large print Bible. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the word of the Lord.
Luke started chapter 9 with waves of joys. First, we hear about Jesus sending out the 12, doing a wonderful thing, healing, teaching, gaining a lot of power and authority. And the second event coming in the same chapter, Jesus is feeding the 5,000, Everything starts as complicated, what do we do? And the end of the story is a magnificent appearance of God's glory. And even wait, it gets even better. Peter declaring that Jesus is the Messiah in the same chapter. Too many good things. But here, in the middle of all this joy, we hear Jesus predicting his own death. And the waves of joys keep going with the talking about the transfiguration, and then Jesus healed the demons possessed boy. And again, Jesus predicting his death second time. And it's very hard to think about Jesus as being a joy killer, because I think that wasn't his mission, to try to feel like, don't be happy, don't enjoy all these moments. But I think he was sending a message. In the end of the chapter, chapter 9, Luke focused on the Samaritan opposition and the cost of the following Jesus. And there is some symmetry in this, in the whole chapter. You can call it dualism. We hear in this chapter is to help us to understand the conversation between Jesus and his followers, or people who are thinking maybe to be his followers in the future. It is hard to hear Jesus saying these words to people who wanted to be his followers, who wants to be part of his kingdom. Jesus was trying to ask them, do you really know what you are asking for? Do you know when you ask for the kingdom of God, that really comes first, regardless of anything else, people or things in your life? Even if you hear these words from Christ as harsh, or even some people said rude, or even some people, scholars, they said, this couldn't be possible. Jesus said these words to these people. How Jesus could not support a man who wants to care for his own family at the time of death of his father. Or the other man who asked just to go home and say, goodbye, because I am on mission now. I am going to be 100% for Christ. But maybe Jesus took the hard position by telling us hard questions. Could hard question help us to see things from different perspective? If we believe it's coming from a heart that love and care for us. And every time you read this part when Jesus says, you cannot follow me because you are doing this and this, just think about your own tone. How do you like to read it? Do you like it as Jesus saying, you cannot do this and this? Or you hear it in a more in a father, elderly, in a voice full of passion and concern about, son, think deeply. Daughter, did you thought about everything? So it's our choice to hear the tone, the same words, but the tone could be very different. And one thing I struggled with, how Jesus could not open the door wide for anybody to follow him. And as any young movements, you need a great supporters. You need a massive crowd to make your voice heard. And if Jesus was interested, was centered about the numbers of people, so I think he didn't do a good job by what he said to these people. He put walls in front of them. He made it sound very difficult to come closer to Christ. But we can hear Jesus here is telling he's not self-centered about achieving his mission, regardless of people's capacity or need or struggle or thoughts. Maybe Jesus is trying to offer to us these questions to shock us with love. So he's saving us from ourselves first, from making a quick decision that could lead us to a lot of frustration. As they say, a lot of the expectation of today could be the frustration of tomorrow. In other words, Jesus is respecting us to make a decision that could reflect our awareness of both sides, the good and the bad, the days when we are on the top of the mountain and the days when we are wandering in a desert and doesn't know where to go. When we think about the gift to go out to people and to proclaim the good news, we need to remember that we are now face to face with people's needs in every aspect. What do we do when people respond to God's message? Like in the story for the 5,000 gathering, it is wonderful to spread words, the words of the Lord, but also when people respond, what do we do? Do we just say our limitation is only to read the Bible, to explain the Bible? We cannot go there. I'm a preacher or I'm a deacon, or I cannot go outside my church. What do we do when people come that close to us? Do we dismiss them by saying we only want to share the good part, the joy and the good news, but really do not bother us by the other side of your life? The need for food, the need for, we are here and it's very hot, we are on the mountain and we have no food. I think the miracle with the 5,000 was not only of making them physically felt, but for the struggle for the disciples not to dismiss the problem, but to struggle with it and to think about people's needs. We know we are limited, but we are not limited by passion and by struggling by thoughts. When Jesus told them about how difficult to follow him, he was saving them from a false expectation or being attracted to Jesus because what he did, especially as we heard all these miracles that mentioned in chapter 9. It makes sense to me now why Jesus talked about his death twice in this chapter. It is hard to hear Jesus this way, but he was bringing the two sides of the story. You saw me, the man of authority, sending my 12 disciples, the man of superpower who can bring and do magnificent things. But also I'm the one who set my face on Jerusalem to go and die there. I believe it was a reminder that if you want to follow God, you can see how my mission is facing hardship by being hated for a crime I did not admit. That's what Jesus said. Jesus set the example by his own life when he's inviting us to be his followers. He say, be careful what you are wishing for. Be careful what you are asking for. Because the mission of God, it should be together, about the joy and the pain, about the coast and the really the days where we are really celebrating, harvesting God's work in our life. When Jesus chose to go with his disciples through the Samaritan village, it was a hard and dangerous choice, but it was the right. Not for everybody in Israel, not for every Jew, but it was the right decision according to Jesus' values. And that's another thing, saying if you come to my kingdom, your identity need to be changed. The way you think about people need to be different. If you come to my home, your values will be structured different. We need to know this was not only way to reach the destination. Jesus, when he went through the Samaritan village, actually, he had a choice. Most of the Jews, to avoid going through the Samaritan areas, they can go to Jordan first, and then go to Jericho, and then go to Jerusalem. And if you look in the map, this is the longest and indirect way. But the direct one is to go through Samaria. And we can see here Jesus took the strong decision to go and face the struggles. And Jesus saying, how many times would society use avoidance instead of facing the issue? How many times we're avoiding to go to places that maybe stirs troubles? Or maybe we could be struggled by the stereotype of thinking about other people. Jesus already showed us the way to be a true follower. If you are willing to make a hard decision, or you have to deal with unpleasant reaction, this is a call for you. If you want sometimes to go different and not like the rest of the community, in the beginning, they will not call it unique. You will be in an awkward situation. But are you willing to do that? That's what Jesus did. Jesus showed them to be free from the way they used to think about who is my enemy and how do I need to approach them and who is the most important. Even if I approached to them and they didn't accept my hand reaching out to them, how do I react? What do you believe to be? You need to be controlled by your belief and values and not by your feeling. The tradition told you, Jesus is telling the Jews, the tradition told you that the Samaritans are not your brothers and sisters. Why? Because they mingled with the Gentiles in the exile 800 years before the time of Jesus Christ. They worshiped other gods and they didn't worship our true God. They are not clean. And Jesus said, and even in your spiritual tradition, do you remember what Elijah did? Elijah, in one event, asked for a fire from heaven to kill people. But here is my message. I am not Elijah. I'm greater than Elijah. I came to save and not to destroy. I came to help people to lift their heads up and not to load them with the shame and break their back with extra load. This is me. Free yourself from the old thoughts and the traditions. And even the way you grow up, you have to bury your father, or you have to do specific tradition to say goodbye to your family. It's a new way. If you entered my kingdom, your identity is totally different. And today we can hear Jesus' question for us, if you want to follow me, I need to ask you that. Do you know what that means? Do you know what you are asking for? And we can hear Jesus answering his question through his life as being a true follower of God, the God of love and mercy, the God of love and mercy of everybody. Jesus is reflecting God's mission in the way he cared about the 5,000 people, the way he pushed boundaries and created a new way to relate to the Samaritan who were victims of a false reading of history. Yes, they were victims of false reading of history. And by false reading, I mean reading history and understand people's struggle from one side only, from our own interest, and not from how people they will speak about their own struggle. And in his conversation with these potential followers, disciples, maybe even will be wonderful saints in the future, he took their side by saying, son, and I imagine if even was a woman among them, he will see daughter too, protecting, I'm asking this question to protect you from yourself and from what you do not know about the future. He wants us to be aware of the privilege and the cost of to follow Jesus Christ. Because I respect your right to choose. Because I respect your right to process and think deeply and not being only hijacked by the good side of what I did. And Jesus said, remember, I set my face to go to Jerusalem. And I know I'm going there not only for fun, not only to be glorified, but also to be crucified. He's saying, be willing to let go of the past. Let the dead bury the dead. And what he meant by that, we are called to care about the living people. We are not called to care about the things behind us. We are called to care about the people who are still here we can save and talk with. There comes a time when you leave the comfort of home, let go of the doorpost, and move into new waters. When Jesus means by saying, "No one who puts hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." And we know that. Anybody who has plowed field knows you have to watch carefully in front of you to keep the lines straight. Look backward and you will swerve on one way or another. Jesus requires us to proclaim the kingdom of God. This is our first Christian vocation and must be our priority compared to anything else. Amen.
Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. This is the Lord's table, and we're all invited to partake of this feast and communion. People will come from east and west and north and south to sit at the table of the Lord our God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ as we join together here.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
Let us pray. Holy God, we praise you for your Son Jesus, who shared our weakness and was tempted in every way as we are. He came to earth that we and all people might be saved and set free to live in your Spirit that day and for all time. Now give us your Spirit in the breaking of bread and in the sharing of the cup, so that by your power we may be drawn together and made one with Christ Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. O God, take these elements that they might be set apart for your holy and Spirit-filled purpose in the coming to this table. In Christ and through Christ we pray. Amen.
Remembering the Lord Jesus, we break bread and share one cup, announcing his death for the sins of the world and telling his resurrection to all people and nations. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took a bread and after giving thanks to the Lord, broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this remembering of me."
In the same way, our Savior took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for all. Whenever you drink this cup, do so remembering me. For as often as you drink this cup and eat this bread, you show the Lord's death until he comes." Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. abide in me and you will bear much fruit. Cut off from me, you can do nothing. Take and drink. Let us pray together in thanksgiving. Help us rise in your resurrection power from this table where you, the ruler of the universe, have served us by your
Okay, now let us worship God through the offering. Thank you, God. You are the giver of every gift in our life, and we thank you for this moment where we express our gratitude and love for this congregation and for your mission. Help us to stay being true followers all your life. Help us to make a right decision when it comes to a different roads to take. We pray in Jesus' name. peace of the Lord be with you, protect you, surround you, and guide you day and night and all your life. Amen.